What is going down, everyone? It's time for the hype, episode number 184. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We just missed the PSA news last week when we recorded last week's show, so we're going to jump into that, give you our opinions on the delay on PSA service. Pretty much shut down is what it is. We're also going to talk about the Topps IPO. Topps is going public, $1.3 billion buyout. We're going to talk about how that impacts the hobby. And then at the end of the show, we're going to do Prism Basketball Guess That Price. So get ready for that. Let's see if you can win. See if you can beat us. Pretty easy because it's such randomness on that. Dan, what's going down?
You know, stuff and things.
Yeah, C-Red. Stuff and things?
Prism.
That's what we got to switch gears to Select now because Select football release day, right?
Select and Prism.
You're gonna have to wear sunglasses tonight because it's like there's so much shininess going on, you know, with the Prism basketball, which just came out last week. We're still breaking it. Yeah. And then Select, which came out today. It's just all things shiny going down on mojobreak.com for breaks.
And right Tribute's now. Even a little shiny, too. You know, you get a little catch the light.
Yep. Actually, and that's I was making a comment today about a Tribute Baseball, another new release today. I mean, we're swimming in new releases right now. We're Scrooge McDuck and all these releases. And I was making a comment on how it's even better this year, the design, and I feel like I say that every year.
Yeah.
So is there ever going to be a year where I'm like, Tribute is actually not as good as the prior year? I don't know.
Don't. But there's another release. We got Contenders Optic.
On Friday. Well, and Black Diamond, which I didn't even mention.
Black
hockey.
Diamond came
I didn't
out.
Give hockey a mention.
Then next week you have
They're not Origins. Actually coming out with NT, right?
Next Origins week? Basketball next week. I
so far, it looks like NT's coming out. I
Origins.
Mean,
Origins Basketball, NT going down tomorrow. First off the line, get in quick at the low price of $10,000. Not a case.
But I don't got no more
but
money.
But a box.
I don't got no more money left, Dan.
I
got no more money left. How do I buy this stuff?
You take your ETH, your Bitcoin, your Dogecoin, your whatever. You cash in your NFTs from Top Shot.
Trying.
Herbert True RPAs, huh? That's what we
buy
for.
And you buy that NT. Okay, so.
Stars and Stripes, Herbert.
I was talking about it in the chat today. I don't think it gets any lower than $6,000. I think Blowout right now has got a major online retailer.
Yeah. Edit that later.
Just.
For the podcast.
Yeah.
What do major online retailers have it for, Dan?
$5,000.
Five grand.
Highly allocated. But you get a Stars and Stripes RPA. And we know how much we love those.
Those are guaranteed.
Yeah. Those are guaranteed.
Unlike
but they,
a regular hobby box.
They got a little tricky last year. They expanded it with some folks that weren't in the RPA subject list.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? We were getting like that Browns guy.
So they diluted it a little bit.
They diluted a little bit more to make some more money. I get it. Yeah. You know, understand. But that's going to be a big one. And in terms of the regular NT compared to the first off the line, you're guaranteed an RPA in the first off the line, not guaranteed an RPA in the regular one. So
mm-hmm. I don't want to put you on the spot. How are we breaking it down?
You know what I did? I actually bought some 2019 National Treasures cases, and I'm keeping those in mind. Maybe a little mixer of 19 and 20.
We do have a. Not a bunch, but we have some.
But 19's not cheap either.
Yeah, but you know, if you get the, you'll appreciate. You're right, but it's cheaper. It's actually cheaper. Half the price, which is be fun.
Maybe you can go out and try to find some 2013 NT football.
There you go. But the folks that get the Cardinals and the Giants in that mixer will appreciate the mixer quality for having a chance at Kyler. And
I don't know how to
Daniel
break it.
Jones.
I mean, I was thinking. I mean, one box randoms.
One
player,
one box
PYT, half a case PYT.
Random.
Are you talking about hobby or the first off the line or just both?
We're talking about everything.
Yeah, that's gonna be.
I think we should. We may mixer a box of first off the line and a box of regular.
Assuming we get some.
I don't know. I think I can't see it going for. I can't see it hitting $5,000. So at $6,000, you're gonna see everybody swooping it up.
Yeah,
and they don't make a ton of it because I think the highest RPA you can get is number 35. The Stars and Stripes.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, but you are on the heels of a lot of first off the line releases, right? So
I think five in the last week.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, and you're coming off of Prism first off the line less than a week and a half ago. I mean, you're coming off Select first off the line, Contenders Optic first off the line,
Origins
first off the line, and now NT. So I mean, yes, mostly dealers are probably buying this stuff anyway, but like they're. Customers have tapped out now at this point. You know what I mean? I mean, your average customer. I mean, I don't know unless you made a lot of money on Top Shot or NFTs or something, or you sold that Beeple for what was that Beeple? They sold for $6.6 million. Maybe then you got some money for NT.
But you making stuff up now? What was that?
There was an NFT of a guy that I think is sold for like $6.6 million or something. He just an NFT.
CryptoPunk.
Crypto. We'll talk about NFTs later in the show, but baseball's here. We've had a week of baseball. If you missed out, we were live on MLB's Twitch breaking boxes. For those folks over there on Twitch, I think there's like 10 or 11,000 people watching us break Definitive. Their minds were just blown. There's like Juan Soto patch, auto, and they couldn't believe it. They were losing their minds over there on Twitch. But we did that last week. That was the kickoff on Thursday. And we've seen some games over the weekend. So Cody's here to give a little recap of what's hot in baseball and what players we should look out for.
Yeah, you saw a few guys there on the slide, guys. How about Akil Badu? Exactly what we were all thinking, right?
Yeah.
That we all had it. Akil Badu, the rookie of the year. It's an awesome story. He was a Rule 5 draft pick. He was on the Twins last year. They had to get rid of him to make room because they got Kirilloff and all that. But he had, what, a first-pitch home run in his first at-bat. He had a grand slam in his second game. He had a walk-off hit the other day. He had a triple today. He even threw
out
a runner.
That boy hot.
It's an incredible story. Now, is it going to last? I don't know. I'll throw it to you guys. Is this a name that was even on the radar for any baseball
player? Well, I remember Eric Abadu had a couple good jams.
Fantastic, yeah.
You know, great singer, great R&B singer. 2018 Bowman Chrome is where you can find Akil Badu's first Bowman. And I almost fell out my chair this morning when I saw that a PSA 10 Badu base, $700. $700, and it's him on the Twins. I think right now, yeah, if I had one of those, I'm selling it. I'm selling it, absolutely. Guy has very little to no time in the big leagues. I'm not a believer in Mr. Akil, but what do you guys think? What do you think, Dan?
I'm getting a Aristides Aquino vibe. Where came out, put up a solid 2 to 3 week stretch, and his cards went through the roof as well. And I think that was 2014 Bowman Chrome, if I'm not mistaken.
It's funny because I didn't even talk to you about this, but that's exactly what I said to Cody earlier, is that it's Aristides Aquino. But I think
I thought you were talking about Scooter Gennett.
Well, we were talking about the great red there, too.
Yeah, we were talking about Scooter a little bit.
Yeah. Aristides Aquino. And I don't think Aquino, I don't think he played last year. I don't think he made the team.
Yeah, he might have had a few at-bats with the Reds.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's on the team right now. So, I would sell. I'd strike while the iron's hot. Don't be left holding the bag.
Yeah, that's that phrase.
Don't do it.
That's that phrase.
I had to think about it because I always screw it up.
So just to play devil's advocate, he is 22. So it's not like he's a late bloomer like another guy we're going to talk about. But, yeah, 22 years old, but he's never played above high A ball. He played 29 games in high A ball in 2019, and he batted .214 with a .290 on base percentage. So is this who he is? Probably not, but it's a nice story. So, yeah, strike while the iron's hot, I think, is the way to go. The other guy, though, Yermín Mercedes, are you guys following him?
You know what I mean?
It's incredible. Yeah, Yadier Yermín. Exactly. That's what I thought, too.
Yadier Yermín.
Yeah, exactly. This is a shout-out to any White Sox fans who are also Bay Area residents. Played in the minor league since 2011. He's played for 10 years in the minors. Apparently had some attitude problems, some motivation problems, and they thought he's never going to make it. Snapped right back into shape the last few years and has become like a godsend for the White Sox. Eloy's out. And he has just
quick question. Do we know what kind of car he drives?
If he's not driving a Mercedes, I got to imagine that
he's in a Beamer.
You got to imagine that the promotions and the endorsements are coming sometime soon.
I mean, if he doesn't work out, they got William Range Rover in single
right.
A.
So, see
if he comes up.
John Cadillac is also waiting.
Are those real guys?
They could be. I mean, we just talked about anyway. He apparently has the most hits for a White Sox player, 12 hits in his first four games, the most since 1904.
Jeez. That's why I love.
Another one to me that's
why I love baseball.
An easy sell. He's 28 years old. It's a great story, and he could end up having a really nice career here for the next 8 or 9 years, but he's never going to be a Hall of Famer because he just started too late. And the moment that Eloy Jimenez is healthy, or, you know, the moment he gets into a slump, they're going to figure out another option. So to me, this is another, like, just sell. If the cards even exist for your main Mercedes right now.
Just to think, 10 years ago, I still had a chance to make the major leagues.
Yeah. You were just starting a brake company, I guess, or opening cards
were in the
of
same,
some sort.
You and your mean were
just
in the same spot?
Just a decade ago.
DP in the chat says he drives an Aston Martin. So.
Yeah.
Well, he does have, correct me if I'm wrong, 2021 Series 1. He has a true rookie card.
Yeah, I think so.
So he must have been called up late last year.
I think he had a little cup of coffee last year. There were talks out of the summer camp and the season restart that he might make the team. So he's been on the radar for a little bit. But definitely the only reason he's here is probably because of the Eloy Jimenez injury. So he's taking advantage of it. Great. It's a great story. It's awesome to see him. He's a big dude. I love big dudes in baseball. I love the story, but I don't know if it lasts much longer. But a guy that I think will, Shohei Ohtani. I know Dan is a huge fan. He had an incredible game
on
Sunday.
Stop the show.
Incredible showcase on Sunday, hitting 100 miles per hour as a pitcher, and then hitting the hardest hit ball of the season so far. I think, Dan, you said it before the show, and I tend to agree. If he can put it all together, he will be the most exciting player in all of baseball.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
No, I mean, I could not agree more, Cody. That's way to just send
I mean,
it
the,
in here.
The Angels have to do well at some point, so yeah. I don't disagree either.
I think he wins the MVP. I think if he stays healthy, I think he wins the MVP.
It goes back to I think we talked about this like 3 or 4 years ago. It seems like yesterday, but he won't have enough stats in each category to get those awards.
But he does something that no other player in Major League Baseball has ever done at this level.
I guess you can still calculate wins above replacement for him on both ways, right?
He stays healthy, and he is a generational talent. Like, compare him to somebody else who's playing right now. You can't.
Yeah, that's a big if. If he stays healthy, you're absolutely correct. And I, you know, we got some cards. I'm hoping for them to go up as well. So I'd love, and I've already put money on the Angels to win the World Series a couple years in a row, and it's not come close. So I'm a fan.
Two guys in this hobby that I have been talking about for a while: Dak Prescott, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Baseball needs Shohei, especially now Tatis might be out for a while with that shoulder injury. That was terrible to see. But they need a guy like Shohei Ohtani who will transcend the game. And if he does what he keeps doing last Sunday, he will transcend the game of baseball. Everybody will make an appointment viewing every time he pitches and hits in the same game. It's unlike anything we've ever seen in baseball.
And the fact that, he was DHing and batting second in the lineup.
Pretty incredible.
It's amazing. He's amazing.
A couple of comments in the chat. Brain in the chat says, the Angels are the Clippers of baseball. Could be, you know, down south. I mean, they don't have that NorCal winning, you know, Clippers culture.
I don't think it's that drastic. Everybody knows that LA is a Lakers town.
I mean, well, look at Mike Trout's hobby. Yeah. Look at his hobby market.
That's what I mean. I don't think it's as drastic as calling them the Clippers. I do agree, obviously, majority of LA probably loves the Dodgers more. But you got Trout on there, and then you got Ohtani blowing up. They could become a force.
Hypothetically, say they go to the World Series, right? And you have Ohtani in the World Series hitting bombs and pitching shutouts. Imagine what that would do. The card industry has never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll say it like this: Clippers win a world championship, right? Say just hypothetically, Some Laker fans might, you know, bandwagon come like go over for, but majority of LA is still gonna stay Lakers fan. If the Angels win a couple World Series, you're gonna see a lot of Dodgers fans like switching sides, dude. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm just
gonna
saying,
be wearing that red.
Padre
if the Angels are making a run, and we're looking at postseason run into the World Series, casual baseball fans, all eyeballs are going to be on Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah,
yeah, he's going to be the topic of conversation if he's pitching one day, he's hitting home runs the other day. Yeah, I mean, it definitely. So you're thinking right now, it's not a, like, before we move on about this topic, you're saying right now is the time to invest rather than sell.
Oh yeah, buy everything, buy it all.
I'm about ready to sell because we've had this conversation.
By Shohei, but I've been talking about Ohtani for 3 years.
Yeah, and because he always becomes hurt by the time it's, you know, it's like, oh, now's the time to sell. Wait, no, he's doing well. It's going to go up higher. Oh, he's hurt. Should have sold. Nah, so it's like another window opened up again. The window opened up again. We should start pushing him out the window.
Hold to the moon. Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, just like your Dennis Smith prediction. I mean, you know, it's definitely panned out.
Dennis Smith can dunk. There's no doubt about that. He's got hops.
Can't stand the team. But let's get into the PSA talk. You know, we had our show last week. We recorded it on Tuesday. The news broke late Tuesday, so we weren't able to talk about it. I know you've been in the chat. I'm sure people in the chat have been talking about it, C-Rad.
Absolutely.
What was the feeling? So if you don't know, PSA basically suspended all of their services except for their two high level service, which I believe is a $300 express and I think a $600 walkthrough. It's basically the creme de la creme is the only services they're offering at the moment. What was the feeling in the chat? What were people kind of saying?
There's a couple of general theories that people were saying in the chat room this past week. One was that they obviously didn't want to get even more overloaded with obviously Prism coming out, like they timed that perfectly. They also, some people were theorizing that it was to get actually their competitors like even more backlogged, so that they could remain on top.
Interesting approach.
Yeah. So I mean, there's that.
But what if the competitor can figure out how to alleviate some of that workload and figure out a better process and get all their customers.
Yeah, that's a lot of ends.
But that's a risk. I don't know. I think the real reason was to
they want to get caught up.
Get caught up.
They
want to alleviate some of the workload.
Tell you what, they don't have to worry about HGA. They're just putting clip art on cards and just kind of ruining their rep. So not to worry about them.
Man,
but maybe BGS. Maybe BGS.
I didn't know you're coming in throwing elbows.
I had a lot of hope for the colored slabs, and they keep letting me.
I don't understand what happened with HGA. I didn't follow them.
I think we only have like an hour show.
Yeah.
It's too long. But
no, they made like they had a Tua downtown that they took like on the slab. They put like an art that looked like Maui from Moana. They put it on the label. And like had like waves.
It was
they just went like it, real rogue.
It's art from Adobe that you get from the subscription, and it said not for commercial use, but they.
So it was like a promotional thing.
No, sometimes they do weird, wacky, fun things that are new and exciting.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find it to show you. It's the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. Right here, there you go. It's
cool.
What?
Yeah. You guys looking at if you're we don't have a slide for this, but if you could do, you could Google Tua Tagovailoa HGA slab and you could find it. You know, that's a little blurry there,
it's funny, the card got a 9. Is that based on how busy the slab was?
and my whole thing was I was on About the Cards podcast, which is a great podcast. You guys should check it out. Do all of the Tua cards that are downtowns, do they all get that?
No. I think you have to specify.
Or is that a special request?
Is it just random?
It's a request.
I think it must have been a special request.
But
right?
Wouldn't you want every card of that year to look uniform with the other ones? Am I crazy for thinking that?
I think they're pushing custom slabs for everybody. So like, okay. You can customize it how you want as a customer. Like they don't care how it looks, that it looks uniform in somebody's
apparently,
box.
They don't care how it looks.
No, apparently not. But anyways, yeah, the whole topic here is that PSA suspends services. But I mean, honestly, personally, my take on this whole thing is that it needed to be done. I think that there would be no way for them to climb out of the hole. I think I read somewhere, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you guys have read this, I think they have like 2,000 employees. So that wasn't enough to catch up. And I guess they're hiring even more. So, yeah, I mean, they had to do something.
You know what I want? Since now we're talking about HGA, you know what I want from them? I want a video, a tutorial, maybe a behind-the-scenes look of their AI on what they actually do to make it AI.
They use Adobe Illustrator and stock images. No,
I think they will. I actually think
that's what I want.
I actually think they will eventually come out with that. They just don't want it to do it to this early in the game where they're still trying to, like, they're still trying to, you know, get their footing.
Protect their IP.
Yeah, they don't want property. They don't want to reveal it all, but I think eventually they will eventually show people how they do their game.
I think they if they're gonna roll it out saying that we have AI in our grading, they need to show people what that means.
Mm-hmm.
HGA took off most of their AI talk, so they were in. Hoping that they could do that.
So we're back to the magnifying glass.
Yeah, we're.
Wait, what?
It's human. It's HA now.
It's HA?
Yeah. Human approach.
Human approach?
Yeah. Human. Oh, it could still be HGA, but it's not hybrid anymore. It's human grading approach.
Yeah, back to PSA. Generally, there wasn't too much negativity in our chat room anyways towards them. There were some, obviously, some customers that were like BGS anyway, so they're going to send all their Prism cards to BGS.
Well, I mean, they care about
Let me ask you guys this. So, like, say, like, the Zions, right? Like, the Zions from last year, where there's. You got to kind of figure that people are probably not grading those right now. So, does that help the population? And does that cause those PSA 10 base to go up right now while PSA is closed on those? Because, I mean, you'd be silly to send a card that's worth $200. And spend $300 on it, you'd be negative.
Yeah,
right?
You would think some of the newer graded stuff would be fetching a premium on the open market now because there won't be any of those Zions, or even if you had like some Lucas that were raw.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, maybe it's a way to kind of pump the brakes on a pop report.
Yeah. I think people got real crap. I mean, there wasn't enough education out there. And, I don't know. There almost needs to be websites. You know, I don't have time to do it. But, like, you know, you shouldn't be sending in, like, the cards that people were sending in. It should not. There was a lot of them that should not have been sent in.
Yeah,
it's because
just
people
grading everything.
Just grading anything that you had. You know, if it was old, they were grading it. Like, I mean, there needed to be some education on that. And I don't think people that jumped into this hobby knew. And I think that caused the backlog, too. Like,
I've heard people come into the shop and they're like, yeah, just I was able to get like 800 submissions in before they cut off everybody. And I'm like, what would you possibly have? You have 800 cards laying around. What can you possibly have that needed to be submitted? I'm assuming those.
Third year Luca, fourth year
No,
Luca.
Everything. Everything.
Every single card.
Every card. A Draymond Green from this year. Send it in. Everything. Every card.
Looks good. Looks good. Gem 10.
I think that's what we were getting because you see how much these graded PSA 10s are getting, and people are not pinpointing. It really matters the year and the player. Not every PSA 10 of every player should get a premium.
Yeah, and there was
what people were doing even before the hobby blew up, right? The last four or five years, like people were just sending in random cards, like, you know, from the 2000s, like the lot that you guys bought, like how many graded cards were in there? Like you were like, why did they grade this stuff, dude?
Yeah, exactly. So now
times that by like how many more people are in the hobbies, like, and they're doing the same thing.
Yeah,
I remember having that conversation on here. Is like, should you grade a 101? I mean, at this point, it's like, should you grade everything? I mean, that's where we became. I mean, back then, it was just like a small group of hobbyists. Like, oh, I don't think you should grade a Super Fractor. It's the only one out there. It's not going
to
change the value.
I think the only reason to grade a Super Fractor or a 101 now is just to get it encased.
Authenticity, I think, in my opinion,
just to get it encased.
Yeah,
I would say.
Well, somebody might. Not like your corners on eBay or whatever. If you're selling, I mean, if you're not going to sell a 101, then don't grade it. But if you plan on possibly selling it in the future, then I would grade it because You don't have to. I like to sell cards that are graded because it feels like people on eBay are like always asking you questions. Oh, do you think it's going to be a nine? You know, or they get it and they have buyer's remorse. Now they have an out because it's like corner's dinged. I can't grade this. I'm sending it back. So at least if you have it graded already, they can't say that. That's why I like to grade low numbered cards like that. Obviously.
Yep.
But you know, to each his own. If you're gonna keep the card, yeah, why get it graded? If you're like a Jose Canseco collector and you want 101, why get it graded, right? So, but it looks like generally the comments on Twitter were pretty positive. You know, you could see here people bitching about this. This will get them caught up. If you would stop sending in every damn card, you have to get graded. What Midessa was just saying. LMAO, the amount of people that are pissed is hilarious because they're angry at the wrong people. They're upset with PSA over this, but not the people sending in literally entire sets of cards to be graded, thinking that they have was worth thousands. And then some of the negative comments. The floor about to fall out in the card game. I was hearing that a lot, that like PSA shutting down, the hobby's good, the bubble's bursted. Well, if you're looking at select prices, if you're looking at Prism prices, if you're looking at Tribute prices, it hasn't changed. If anything, I mean, people are going to sell more raw cards now. Maybe it'll actually cause more sales because people will take those cards, put them on eBay, rather than wait for them to get graded and come back and then maybe not even sell it at that point. So, I what do you think, C-Rad? Do you think it does anything to cause any change in what people do on a day-to-day basis in the hobby?
No. And I think when PSA comes back, there's probably still going to be the king of card grading.
Yeah.
And their cards are still going to fetch more than everybody else's. It is an opportunity,
for
though.
For now.
It is an opportunity for BGS to try to gain some of that, you know, some of that back, that thunder that PSA stole from them the last few years. But I don't think it affects the hobby much. People are just going to hold on to their cards probably for, you know, a few months, however long this takes. And the people that find alternatives to PSA, you know, like, those are the people that just, you know, they just want to get rid of their cards quick. So
I don't know what this person means by this, but he says you're going to announce this on the same day that NBA Top Shot announces a $300 million round investment by Michael effing Jordan. You in big trouble. NFT next thing. Oh, so I guess they're saying that you're like letting people, I guess, pivot into an NFT. Maybe is that what that was?
I mean, I've heard that argument that. And like that's part of, like, remember when we were talking about NFTs, like, before we really knew much about it, like a few months ago, it's probably people were like, okay, these sports cards guys are afraid of the NFT crowd, and it's like both are going to coexist regardless. Like
NFT is going to be very, I mean, it goes hand in hand with crypto. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. It's going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. Where trading cards, for the most part, you do see peaks and valleys, but it's not as substantial as crypto NFT, where your Top Shot can go down, your evaluated market can go down 30-40% in 2 weeks.
Right.
And to add to that too, the guy that this guy is probably like maybe an early NFT guy. He's just trying to pump up his whatever, like, you know, what the thing that he's into, that, like, he probably has money tied up in.
Right.
The other thing you got to consider is that the people that bought PSA recently, they're very, very, very smart businessmen, and they know how to take a business even further than where they've already been.
Dabbling in a little bit. Everybody's looking. I mean, Tom Brady's starting an NFT company now too.
Yeah. But I mean, the PSA is going to be run by even smarter people now.
Yeah.
So, like,
I mean, it's kind of like the building was falling down, right? You had to close it for remodeling to get the to put the new wood in, to update the windows and stuff, make sure the building doesn't collapse on somebody.
It tells me that the company has to be doing pretty damn good to basically tell everybody
they're basically turning away money.
Yeah, yes. we don't need your money right now.
Exactly. It's kind of like if we had
be doing pretty damn good if you're going to have that approach.
It's the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing as a business.
Because this person at the bottom said, let's halt 98% of our business because we literally can't handle it. What other business in America can say that? Would this be termed, say, a management failure? ? No, it's a demand failure is what it is. There's no, and that's why people get mad at PSA. There's no way they could have predicted the amount of demand that happened for their services. There's no way. It's like you were like a corner barber shop, and you used to get two people in a day, and now you have 1,000 people trying to come in and get their haircut a day. Well, you're going to have to get more barbers, right? Just like if you want to compare it to us, it's like if we lost our whole shipping team and we continue to do breaks, and then instead of we getting you your cards, shipping them out within 3 to 5 business days, we were taking like months to get your cards. Well, we would get email after email after email on how long it's going to take, and I'm sure that's what they're getting. They've got the guys that are doing the standard service that's taking 6-7 months. They're probably getting – I can only imagine. I mean, I know what kind of emails we get. I can only imagine the kind of emails saying, like, you're taking food off my family. I can't pay my mortgage. Like, this car that I had was going to sell for this much. Now it's went down. Like, you know, what are you going to do for me? Like, I can only imagine. And it got to the point
– why did this card get – so-and-so grade. I wonder how many emails those get filtered through the spam folder.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, just imagine. Who knows?
NFT crowd going to be holding the bag once the rocket crashes into the moon. is that what that is, Max? Joe says, what's up, C-Rad?
What's up, Joe?
I am invested in Top Shot. Brain says, I am too. I sold a $3,500 mellow, and I don't have the money, so I guess I fake sold it or something. But I sold it, and I still have money pending. So, I mean, I'll take whatever they can give me. This is a perfect segue in to talk about Topps. Topps goes public, and their initial SPAC deal, which is under the stock ticker, what we think is under the stock ticker, MUDS. I think it's been really talked about everywhere, so I think that's the one. But I'm not a stock guy. I don't want to say, hey, go buy it, and then it's not Topps is a thing. But SPAC, $1.3 billion deal to fund Topps. Michael Eisner taking them public, and one of the drivers to the whole thing was the rise of NFTs and blockchain technology, which has become a growing business in entertainment and collectible industry. So I thought maybe that they were going to go for more licenses at first, you know, maybe try to take the NFL license or maybe become another licensor for the NBA. But it seems like this deal, at least on the outside right now, is them getting into the NFT game. And I'm assuming with the baseball license, with the WWE license, with a lot of these licenses they have, they want to be able to produce NFT collectibles, digital assets, blockchain technology to in the masses. I think they were sold for what, $357 million?
470, I think.
Was it 470? It was somewhere between 300 and 500 million they sold for in 2007. So now they're valuing the company at 1.3 billion. Got to remember with Topps, not just trading cards, they have a confection business as well, which is Bazooka, Ring Pops.
They're a huge candy company.
Yeah, they do a decent amount of candy. I think it's 30% of their business.
Yep.
If I remember reading that correctly, and you know, the rest is the trading cards that we all know and love. So how do you guys think this changes? Whoever wants to go first on this, how do you think this changes the way we carry on about our hobby, or is it something that's completely separate?
I'll start. I'm not smart enough to know what's going to happen, but I will say that it's kind of exciting that they're trying to go into the digital NFTs and all that stuff. It's gonna, especially from a manufacturer that's been doing sports cards, right? Where Top Shot came out, they're like a brand new company. You know, it's like something brand new that, you know. But with Topps, they're gonna incorporate what they've done over the past, yep, you know, however long, and it's gonna be exciting to see what they're able to do. In my opinion, I think it's gonna be a good thing.
Yep, and I actually did. Yeah, I forgot to mention that, and I don't understand how they do that, but they do make gift cards for Nike, Netflix, and
they might make the physical gift card.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Well,
like the packaging.
Yeah. No, I was like the actual card.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
That's actually what I thought when I first read it.
Maybe that's – I was like, digital? Could you get it digital somehow, get a digital gift card? But that makes sense. So when you go and you're – when you go to get your, you know, one of your relatives a gift card.
Amazon card, yeah, or whatever, okay. Yeah. I think they make the physical card. Maybe. I could be wrong. I just made it up.
Your thoughts.
My thoughts. All right, cool. So talking about the NFT, talking about the digital, Topps has been doing digital cards longer than anybody in the industry.
Topps Now?
Topps Now is a print to order type of deal, but they've been doing Topps Bunt.
Yeah.
They have a hockey digital license where they do hockey trading cards that are digital. So that's been going on for a while. how this acquisition is going to affect the industry, it's all speculation. Mm-hmm. Everybody right now is just going to sit here and speculate. It's going to mean this. It's going to mean that. They're going to get more license. They're going to mass produce everything. They have shareholders to satisfy now. Yeah, maybe. That could happen. Are things going to change? 100%. Does anybody know how those things are going to change? No. But have fun speculating. Have a good time. Come up with every, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're going to get the NBA license. That's going to happen. Who knows? Good. But I know that's, like, such a weak response, but that is the only correct response.
Yeah.
Is yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's fun to talk about it, and it's fun to, that's why we have these shows. That's why ESPN tries to talk about who's going to be the number one pick in a draft. We've seen how many dang mock drafts, because it's all speculation, right? Until yeah. it actually happens. Me personally, the NFT thing, as a, you know, it's I feel like it's a different segment. It's not the same thing as a tangible trading card. I was thinking about it earlier today, and I was like, how could I compare this? And an NFT blockchain, it's, you can search, I would Google it, NFT non-fungible token. It means it's not, that one token is different. It's like a one of one compared to the next token, where all Bitcoins are the same. So, but an NFT is all, every NFT is unique in a sense. And if you buy and sell it, there's a ledger. That's where the blockchain comes into play. So if you were to sell Tom Brady's, whatever he did, he's coming out with NFT. If you sold it for $10,000, now it's a ledger that's $10,000. So assuming you're going to sell it again, it's going to go for higher than that, and then it's going to be worth more. For me, I almost feel like it's when CDs went to MP3s, where I, as a fan, and I'm, you know, maybe this is like a dinosaur collector talking, but I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate with this. I've moved into collecting records because I still like to have something that's tangible that I can hold. I don't think I'm going to get into NFTs for the simple fact that I don't want to have something that I can't hold. I can't show you guys. I can't show my friends my Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck 1989, like PSA 10. I can't show that. I get like, what, am I going to pull it up on my phone and check this out? That's cool. Well, you could have just took a picture of somebody else's NFT, right? I mean, I get the aspect of the investment on it. I get the aspect of Bitcoin and crypto and all that stuff. But I think from a collectible standpoint, for me, I want it to be tangible. Just like the music, I feel like music went down after CD. I mean, MP3s came out. Music seemed like it wasn't, not as many people really were dedicated to music as they are, you know, when we were kids, when we were teenagers. But it's just my thoughts.
I get it. I get the tangible item. I also get there's also, I think, a generation way younger than us, generations younger than us, that they don't think that way. They're just like,
yep.
this is the blockchain, the ledger, that's cooler. It all makes sense. That's cooler than this stupid thing that I'm never going to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. It's like you're gonna forget about it. It's just gonna be in the ether or whatever you call it.
But when you go and see that it's gone up 10 times, that's gonna.
But if there's only,
that's gonna make you feel pretty good, right?
If there's only one of that item, who determines that it went up that high? Mm-hmm. Bitcoin's different, where it's going up because of the demand and more people are buying it, right? But if you're talking about NFTs, there's only, I guess it's just an art piece then. It's just whatever somebody wants to pay for it. So
sure.
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing of having a Kobe 1-of-1. Kobe 1-of-1, how do I value that Kobe 1-of-1?
I mean, I think without a doubt, we are going to be dealing with crypto and NFTs
and digital things,
blockchains and digital currency and all that going forward.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I think it is.
Now, is it long term, though? Is it just like you said earlier before the show, is it like new metal?
I think there's going to be a lot of different fractions and segments of that industry that are going to be really, really popular and then go away.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a handful of things that are tried and true and are going to be a staple, and everything's going to be based off of it and compared to it.
Yeah.
Do I know what those things are? I have no idea. Again.
Yeah, I mean, as a collecting, obviously you could never really lose it unless somebody hacks your account. You don't have to get it graded. You don't have to worry about what condition it is. I mean, there is some pluses and minuses to the whole thing, but it's just, to me, it's not there. It's not physical. So, Any last words on the NFTs, C-Rad?
No, mainly just, I was just going to say that I definitely see both sides of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an old school collector. I like physical CDs still. Like, you know, I'm still somebody, if my car had, actually, I still buy CDs every now and then. Yeah. I don't buy as much because my car doesn't even have a CD player anymore.
Right.
So I'm the type that I still buy CDs. I still buy physical movies. I still buy physical video games. So I'm definitely a person who likes to collect physical, tangible things as well. At the same time, I do like the idea of digital goods. Obviously, like, we've been moving towards that direction for a long time. I like the fact that I can store money in something and know that it's safe there. You know what I mean? Like, without, like you said, unless you get really, like, you get hacked or something, like, nobody can steal it from me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I've had my car broken into so many times and people take my CD, all my CDs and stuff.
Me too.
And that sucks, right? So I like the idea of being able to store, have money stored away digitally in something that I actually like to, you know, like, something I like to look at. Like I said before, Top Shot, I haven't gotten into it yet. I probably will eventually. But I do like the idea of, like, artwork, kind of like, you know, because art is subjective and everybody sees something differently. So if I see something digitally that I like, that a piece of art that somebody made, I may be like, let me put my money in this and, you know, hopefully it'll retain its value. You know what I mean? And I know that I have money there sitting and I could just not really think about it until, like, the future or whatever. So I see both sides.
Yep. I hear you. Cody, any thoughts on the NFTs and, you know, where Topps has been moving with this? And
I mean, it just seems like everyone's shifting towards this. I don't think it's going to ruin the physical card market at all. I think there's a place where this all coexists. I was into the Top Shot stuff. I've definitely cooled off a lot. It was fun for a minute, but
is it because you can't get packs? Was that part of it?
It's not even that, because I was getting some packs. I mean, that was a little bit of that, but it was also just kind of like I can't really even pinpoint it. I just kind of lost interest, and I think part of it is because I like to have the tangible thing. So I agree with you guys who were talking about physical media. Like, if just having it physically is something I'll always like, and I think too, with NFTs, not just NFTs, but, like, just anything you've seen, like, now you streaming services and digital music and stuff, like, it's easy to, like, manipulate that stuff from the original version of it. And I think that it's always, that's why I always will cherish having, like, a physical card or a physical version of a movie, you know, like, as a huge Star Wars fan, like, those original VHSs of the original movies, that's like a sacred text at this point because they've been untouched.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess there's always that too. I'm always wary of the digital stuff because it can be manipulated down the road to a point where 50, 60 years from now, it's going to look completely different. So maybe that's a different tangent, but I think it really just comes down to, I just like to have the physical thing in my hand. And I think the Top Shot stuff really really highlighted that it's just nice to have it, to feel the opening of a card and the open packs. I just like that more.
I like the opening of the packs part.
Is it safe to say with Top Shot specifically though, you'd be more interested in it if you were able to pull money out right away, have the money in your account?
It would make me a lot more inclined maybe to keep it rolling. But things have just, like, if anyone out there is doing Top Shot still, you all probably know, you can see it looking at your moments on, like, a month ago. It was like, holy crap, I got a moment that was worth $10 last week. Now it's worth $500. And it's just tanked, and it's not like it's fluctuating up and down. It's just like it kind of keeps going down.
And it's also
more products, so it's all kind of watering it down.
Is that what's actually happening? Because I haven't been keeping up with Top Shot.
And I think also safe to say, I think that is one of the main drawbacks. The other one is what Doug was talking about with not being able to get packs.
Yeah, it's not patience.
It could be like an all day thing. You could be waiting literally all day to get your pack.
Yeah.
So
Jeff in the chat says he collects money.
Yeah.
Collects money?
Specifically Benjamins.
Like coins?
I like it.
Like, just likes to collect money. You know, likes to watch his money go up.
Interesting.
Chris calls it, Chris in the chat said we're boomers. Close. We're close.
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking close. He said it with an LOL as a sarcasm.
But I was just talking, I was embracing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe all these guys.
I might be an okay boomer.
But Conrad's into it. He's hip.
Hey, I bought Top Shot before all you guys. I was in there buying packs. That's how I got my LaMelo. I spent $100 and I turned it into like $4,000.
But then you couldn't get any more and you got mad and you left.
Because I have no patience. I'd rather do something else with my life.
I'm taking my moments and going home.
Yep, I'm taking my ball and going home. Speaking of basketball, I think we're getting close on time, so we need to get into Guess That Price.
Oh, this is not going to work.
And
well,
it's the Prism edition of Guess That Price. And I'll let Cody kick it off because he's going to be the host. He's going to be the Alex Trebek, so to speak, or the Aaron Rodgers, I guess.
Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers, the Dr. Oz. I don't know. Take your poison. Yeah.
Hugh Donahue.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. Let's get into it. Prism is out. There are a few cards on eBay right now. So we're going to get into a few that have sold early on. First up, how about the guy who was the Rookie of the Year favorite when he got injured? LaMelo Ball. I actually couldn't find any silver rookie LaMelo Balls. Only base that have sold so far. So this is just a base rookie LaMelo Ball out of 2020-2021 Prism.
All right, lock it in. Lock it in.
Use that pen, Effie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go. I took yours. That was my strategy.
All right. Are we going from left to right?
Probably, I guess, to start it off, right?
Yeah.
And again, no Price is Right rules. If you get whoever gets the closest, whether it's high or low,
it's gonna be close.
You get it.
I think I got it dead on.
385 389 98 315 315. We did not even look at each other's answers there.
Doug, what was yours again?
389.98.
All right, I might have to do a little quick math here.
I don't think I do.
Dan had 385. Is that right?
Yep.
All right, so Dan is the winner.
There's one thing I know. It's LaMelo Ball.
Actual price would be $361.42.
Wow. We were all pretty close. That was probably the closest round of Guess That Price we ever had. So, yep.
All right. How about the next rookie?
Did anybody get it in the chat?
Let's see.
Yeah, pretty close. 350.
Phil and D. Porter had 350 each, so that's pretty close. The next rookie, of course, Anthony Edwards. This is a Anthony Edwards red refractor.
Ooh.
Numbered to 299.
Ended in auction, huh?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, it did.
299?
299. Number to 299, Anthony Edwards, red refractor.
Mm. All right. Dan gets to go first because he won, right?
All right. I'm going
$305.
I'll buy it all day at that price. $682.
$305?
That guy's kind of scrub. He's kind of a scrub.
$2,200.
Ooh.
Okay.
Actual price. $2,025. Z-Rad gets the point.
What are your thoughts on that, since you thought it was $300?
Right. Nobody should have paid more than $305 for that card.
Are we back in 2016? Where are you getting these prices from?
There's 298 more of them.
It's numbered.
You had the base LaMelo going for $80 more.
Wow, That's baby.
Anthony Edwards is the number one pick, Dan.
Yeah. No, that's baby Mello, though.
Oh, boy.
I feel bad. I mean, at least mine doesn't look as bad, even though it was pretty bad. It was overshadowed.
Oh, I thought Anthony Bennett.
I thought it was Anthony Bennett. Yeah, because everyone is scrambling to get Anthony Bennett cards over the 2021 Prism.
What did he do?
Man.
Did anybody get close in the chat?
Oh, Anthony Edwards. Now I get it.
$300. I
looks like
Busta
had it.
Are you serious,
man? Right on the dot. $2,200. He also had C-Red's guess. So.
Oh, dang. My God.
Yeah. Wow. All right. What do we got next?
Yeah. I should say Busta, by the way. I am a second team is Mariners. So there you go. If you're asking if I'm a true fan, second team is Mariners. Okay.
Where is this picture taken from?
Is it the car?
Yeah, no, I right. Here you
driving,
go.
Driving on the freeway. couldn't wait to get home.
There he is, holding the Tyrese Halliburton. It's sold.
Got a top loader.
Tyrese Halliburton, purple cracked ice. That's numbered to 175. Oh, purple God. Cracked ice Halliburton.
I'm concerned about the condition of this card.
It looks like he's got leather seats, though, man. I mean,
it's a nice car. Looks like it's
numbered to what is it again?
Numbered to 175.
All right, we're
175.
We're doing the card, not the car, right?
No. Who knows? He could just have got nice leather interior on a lemon.
Yeah, number to 175?
175. Purple cracked ice, Tyrese Halliburton.
Always nice.
C-Raz got to kick it off, right?
Since all right. I got 1277 for the Halliburton. All 1277.
Right. 1175.
You did like 200 of them?
$1,950.
No way, right?
Actual.
It matches. It matches the team color there. That's the purple.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Damn it. It does add up. Yeah.
Actual price. I'm actually kind of shocked. $2,499. Damn.
There's.
I mean, I would have only guessed it another extra $400 or $500.
It probably would have went for even more than that if the photo wasn't basically
crazy
off a flip phone
it's
in a car.
It's all he did. It's like sideways and stuff too.
175 Halliburton.
Wow. All right, so
yeah,
Dan,
that is pretty low number.
Dan is in the lead. 2-2. C-Red has one. Doug still looking to
get on the board. Can't get on the board.
Doug, best Doug can do at this point is tie.
This card could be any. It could be worth it. Who knows?
All right. This one, I thought this was an interesting one to go with. Zion. It's a Zion short print silver throwback.
Looking extra chunky on that one, too.
And that, of course, is a second year Zion. We were wondering what our second year Zion's going to go for.
That's a silver, right?
And it is a silver. It's a short print, and it's the throwback, so maybe a little different than the regular base.
Anywhere
silver.
From $2 to
$5. That's where I was at. I was right in there.
This is definitely a wild card.
I got this, bro. I got this.
Okay, I got it. All right. So Dan goes first.
$415.
$366.67.
$750.
Man, actual price.
It's going to be stupid.
$711.99.
Who would pay that for that?
It's the point.
Who would pay that?
It's the iconic 1213 design.
From what I was gathering too, his base is getting I think there was a base silver for about 250 less than that. By the way,
so just the regular, the real base.
Yeah,
not the retro
base
one.
Silver. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, jeez. Second years go for like Luka and Zion go for a majority of just the rookies.
Yeah,
like I don't.
What is going on?
I don't get it.
Well, I mean, what Zion's it's not even a great looking card. It looks bigger than normal. I mean, maybe it's the angle
it's
of the photo.
It's the iconic 1213.
He wasn't playing
design.
In 1213.
And Zion is having a really good
massive
year
right
now.
Yeah, he is.
Massive sophomore year.
Great
year.
All right.
How old was he in 1213? Like 9?
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
No, he wasn't playing, Doug.
Oh. Oh, is this the wild card?
This is the wild card. Oh, we go on baseball for our final pick. By the way, we are tied 2-2, C-Rat and Dan. So if either one of
them
gets
I'm not going to win this.
Ohtani.
I thought it was going to be basketball the whole time. Oh, I got screwed out of a championship this week, bro.
One wild card at you. Shohei Ohtani, we talked about him at the beginning of the show. He's hot right now. This is his rookie chrome refractor. It's a PSA 10. And it shows him pitching.
This is a short print, right?
I don't know if it is. You guys,
I want to say the pitching one was a short print. I think him hitting might have been the regular rookie.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because I mean, they specifically pointed out
10,
this is sold the day after his Sunday Night Baseball performance. By the way,
wow.
Just to give you a little bit of context,
and his rookie year is his prospect card.
Yep.
Right, hold on, let me lock it in.
What do we say? What do we got in the chat?
I think it's a quarter million.
Hold on, don't say it yet. I'm gonna write my mind down. Hold on, don't say nothing yet.
Not what you would pay, Dan.
Actually, priceless. You can't put a price on it.
I know I'm too low, but whatever.
All right, Dan,
I won the last one.
How low are you?
$2,500. See, you guys are laughing. I don't know nothing about baseball.
I'm at $11.50.
Oh.
And I'm mailing it in at $5 because that's all I would pay. $5. I'm mailing it in. I can't win anyway, so $5.
I thought I was high.
But don't people love these cards or something?
Watch me win this one because you guys are so high.
Wait, let me double check because there is actually a chance Doug might win this one.
Oh, God. Then we have to do a double wild
card. Guess what? Actual price, $529.99. By about $100, Doug is the winner.
Yes! Of that round. See? When I mail it in, I win. Mailed it in.
Dude,
that was the equivalent of going $1 on the Price is Right.
I was thinking $600, and I'm like, no way. I psyched myself out. I'm all, that's a short print. Has to be over $1,000.
I just thought baseball collectors are crazy, too.
So like, how do we break this tie?
Well, I mean, I think we'll just break the tie. Dan was closer out of the two that had.
No. We got to go legit. We got another card. Let me
do a little bit of digging here, and I'll get you guys a card.
We could talk for the next couple minutes about Ohtani. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, you do like him. Or we had front row seats to watch him talk at the Transcendent Party, which was fantastic. Had a few sodas, got a couple autographs.
Tom Fish's seat.
Yep. And Kelly Wrangham got his seat, too. We didn't intentionally do it, but somehow we sat in their seats. But Topps Transcendent's coming around again. I think this one's coming supposedly with Bryce Harper. And
the regular cool Transcendent or the...
The regular Transcendent's Bryce Harper. I don't know who the Hall of Fame
There's
was.
A backlog.
There's a Bowman Transcendent, too.
There's a backlog of parties.
There's a backlog. There's like
that need to happen.
Tennis Transcendent, maybe WWE Transcendent as well.
I'm trying to go to the WWE one.
The WWE one. I heard it's a blast. I heard the tennis one's pretty good, too.
How'd you hear the tennis?
Black helmet.
I don't think they've had the tennis yet. They haven't had the tennis yet, right?
No, I heard it was a blast. It's going to be good. Like the swags.
Pick a random car code, like a hella random one.
No, the black helmet behind us is Stanford, and it's signed by Tiger Woods, who went to Stanford.
I got one here.
All right, let's get it.
Let's see if the camera will even pick this up. It is a James Wiseman photo variation. There we go. Can you guys see that?
I'm not even going to pick.
Photo variation.
Photo variation.
Photo
for
variation from 2021 Prism.
Photo variation.
And this just apparently.
There's a photo variation?
I guess so. Yeah. Unless it's a fake card.
What?
Is
hobby?
It's live version of him playing, right?
Yeah. Or it's like him practicing.
Yeah, because LaMelo has.
You want to see it there? There's a look at it. You don't see the price there.
Is it from hobby or retail?
Okay. And that is just a regular, not a parallel of it, right?
This is just a regular photo variant.
What?
Yeah,
that must be from Frasbrick, bro.
I'm almost feeling like I hope I'm not like plugging a fake card.
No, that's real because I think they have one at LaMelo like that too.
Okay.
The LaMelo one is
okay, they're in
car,
hangers,
though.
Is what the chat's
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, but
okay,
the live version of him playing is the real one, and then I guess the one that looks like that is the variation.
All right.
Okay.
All right. There you go. It's just ended, 17 bids.
Probably will show up at Fast Break, Ron says.
I don't know. I'm not going to do the $1, though. I don't win like that.
Right, I should know this one, bro. Okay, I'm ready.
I'll go. 285.
350.
Ooh.
Oh.
285 versus 350. Actual price after 17 bids.
$732.
$105.50.
Damn. How the heck? I'm buying at that price.
Is the winner.
I can't beat Dan in this game, dude.
Nobody can. In the words of the great Vegas Dave, how do I do it?
How do you do that dance, too?
Speaking I don't of, know. Speaking like that.
Speaking of Vegas
like
Dave, I see he has a YouTube commercial.
Oh, he does?
That just plays, like, you know, like in between, like, videos.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
How do I do it?
I can't
it?
Believe that sold for $100. That's cheap. I might be buying all of those at that price if more of them come up there.
Variation? Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Let's go.
Well, that's it for the hype. That was fun. I mean, we could do more Guess That Price, but it's always fun when a new release comes out because we absolutely have no idea where the market's going to trend.
No, let's not do any more Guess the Price because Dan always wins.
But dude, Anthony Edwards, that card going for that amount? That's insane. Yeah. I mean, the box prices are insane, so I guess it's kind of justified that cards like that are paying for the box. Anthony Bennett. It's craziness. Maybe next week we'll have to do Select because Select box prices are up to like $1,700 already. So maybe next week we'll do Guess That Price on Select and see if we can pull out some more wacky prices. But for now, check the website, mojobreak.com, if you want to get into a break. We got plenty of Tribute, Prism Basketball, Select Football, Contenders Optic, Definitive. We're doing it all. Everything is scheduled. You go on there. If you're on the website, on a PC, on a computer, it's on the right side. If you're on the mobile, it's on the bottom. That's our schedule. Everything's guaranteed to break. And if you want to buy sealed wax, you can go to mojobreakshop.com. And to watch any of our content, go to Mojo Break Media on YouTube. And that is it for now for the hype. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace.